dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? You say my opinions are not fact. I wanna ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out. About a dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? You say reality's what you please. I wanna ask you, does water freeze at 32 degrees? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. Just come about.
Interesting stuff. Singer was a guy that I met online in 1995. Cat was a cab driver in Connecticut. Amazing blues player. I dig it. Good evening. I guess it's Wednesday night. It's Thursday? No, it's Wednesday. I've lost track. I'm so totally whacked out. I finished up last night, beat to death, and tried to go to sleep at about 9:30, and it was well after 1 o'clock before I finally passed out. Jeff Bennett here. I'd like to say the edge of darkness, but darkness should put me to sleep, but it ain't cutting the mustard, Jack. Glad to have you here on this sixth day of April. God, time is flying. I had to leave a couple of messages and notes for folks to make damn sure they woke me up at 7:30 this morning. And I hit the road at 8. Had to go pick up some silver. Some of y'all folks out there got some rolls of silver on order. Finally got out there to pick it up. Nice big fat bill. No big deal. It doesn't bother me. And on the way back, well, first of all, it took me forever to get to my local supplier. And I went down the highway, got off the road I normally do, and it almost instantly cut down to a single lane going in the direction I had to go, and it took me forever. Every SOB coming up on your right-hand side, getting up cars ahead of you, cutting in front, it was crazy. So I finally got down there, got my stuff. I was out of there by 10 minutes after 9 when they opened the door. And decided I ain't taking that same road back. I know I'm going to cut over here and get on Northern. Well, one of the other things I had to do was stop, and I need some acid for my pool. Yeah, I got a swimming pool. Come on, you live in Arizona. It's hot out here. And I thought that there was a Lowe's on the road that I came out to go to my supplier's place, but there wasn't. But I got on Northern, and all of a sudden there's a Lowe's. I don't think I'd ever been in that Lowe's before. It was the biggest Lowe's store that I've ever been in. It had the finest, and number one, it was the cleanest store I'd ever been in. Unbelievably well laid out. But I predominantly went into the garden section area because I needed some deacid for the pool. That's the sole reason I went in there. It was the finest garden selection I had ever seen in a Lowe's. I will be going back there this weekend to pick up stuff because I've got planning to do here, et cetera, et cetera. And I finished that up. And on the way home, I get a phone call from the post office. This load of Uruguayan 5 pesos that it's been spooking me on. Because this chick shipped this stuff a week and a half ago. And all of a sudden, it got lost in Chicago. And as of Monday, they still didn't know where the damn thing was. And the paperwork froze it. And there was no record. My guy from the post office called this morning. The load came in today. So, there are those of you who had ordered some of the French 20-franc rooster packages, which we shipped out all of those packages yesterday. And then those of you who had placed orders for roosters and some of the Uruguayan pieces, I wanted to ship them all at the same time to save costs and get your goods out. So now the Uruguayan pieces are here. Guess what I'll be doing after work tonight? Packing. Getting ready to ship your goods out. It's been an interesting day, I'll tell you that. Of course, I've got the silver I picked up. I've got to be packaging that up and ready to ship it out as well. It's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long night tonight, and maybe for other reasons, because we've got something very interesting to share with you later in the program. Now, having bored you with all of that, I also had to go up and do some bank wire today. I had to bank wire the gal who sent me the Uruguay pieces. And normally I could do that from my office because of the dollar amount that I was sending. But I wasn't going to open up a special account just to handle her wire. But I also had to do a very, very large 200+ thousand dollar bank wire this morning that I have to go into the bank and do because I'm maxed at 100,000 a day. So I got all that stuff done, and I got back here. It's just been nonstop, and I've not stopped since I got back home, back to the office. So, hey, glad to have you here. We're going to have a little bit of an interesting discussion tonight. Going through some files last night and came across something that was quite fascinating to me. I didn't even realize I had it, or I'd forgotten I had it. And it's something entitled Funny Money. And I felt that this was well worth sharing with you, and sit back and have a cocktail or a cup of coffee, and maybe you'll get a few laughs out of this. Maybe you'll get angry over it. You see, recently I received a press release from the U.S. Treasury Department. Now, naturally, my first move was to verify via chemical analysis that it was genuine. There's been a sharp increase in the number of counterfeit Treasury Department press releases, as an embarrassed CNN found out last month when it reported incorrectly that our current federal board chairman, what's his name, Pollen, whatever the heck his name is, I can't remember these guys, that he's doing all the voices on the popular, that he did all the old voices on the popular cartoon show South Park. But he only did Kenny and Mr. Hankey. But this particular press release turned out to be authentic. And it announced that this coming fall, we're going to be seeing a new redesigned $20 bill. Now, this is part of an anti-counterfeiting program to redesign all of our old currency once again, because it's been just a little too easy to duplicate with modern color photocopiers. You know, that's a fact that was made all too clear when the Xerox Corporation, in its 1997 annual report, reported profits of $850 trillion, mostly in $50 bills. Why Why does counterfeit money represent a threat to this nation? How can we as consumers be sure that we have spelled counterfeit correctly? Well, to answer those questions, we need to understand exactly what money is, what makes it valuable. Now, to approach things from a historical standpoint, which is something I'm known for doing anyway, back in ancient times, when people were much stupider than they are today, there was no such thing as money. People transacted business by trading actual physical things. If you sold a cow, the buyer would pay for it by giving you maybe 14 physical ducks, or a handful of pieces of copper, or maybe some silver, maybe some gold, depending on what you were looking at. But even in those days, that was a lot of ducks to be carrying around. And of course, ducks today are becoming, well, if you like to eat duck, which ain't a bad meal, ducks and chickens are becoming very scarce. But back in those days, that was a lot of ducks to be carrying around. The bank wouldn't let you deposit the ducks because they fought with the chickens. Well, maybe that's why the ducks and the chickens are dying today. But the automatic teller machines were pretty disgusting back in those days. So, well, finally, the ancient Egyptians got sick of all this. They invented the first unit of paper currency called simoleon. And that way the Egyptians explained the concept to their trading partners was, for your convenience, we're going to start paying you with these pieces of paper, which are valuable because they got a picture of Ulysses Grant on them. Well, the trading partners weren't that crazy about the concept, but they did go along with it because the Egyptians had also invented spears. Did they have chuckers back in those days? I don't know. Well, today the basic principle, frankly, remains the same, my friends. We trust money because our government stands behind it. A counterfeit $20 bill is a worthless piece of paper backed by nothing. Whereas a real $20 bill issued by the Treasury Department has value because anytime you want, you can take it to Fort Knox, site of the Federal Gold Bullion Depository, and exchange it, no questions asked, for a duck. Try it yourself. If they give you any trouble, mention my name. But the point is, starting this fall, we're going to start seeing a drastically redesigned $20 bill. And among the major changes include, to thwart would-be photocopiers, instead of saying $20, the new $20 bill says $15. First, the Nike swoosh has been enlarged. The engraved portrait of Andrew Jackson has been given a new up-to-date hairstyle pattern, according to the Treasury Department press release, after Barry Manilow. And President Jackson also has been given a vivacious new facial expression that seems to say, I'm looking good and I'm ready to party, with the engraved portraits on other currencies nominations. Well, on the back of the bill, in the engraving of the White House, on the far right-hand side, in the engraved shrubbery, is a tiny crouching engraving of Joey. Well, for verification purposes, however, the new bill will be impregnated with plutonium particles, which emit a distinctive pattern of atomic radiation. This poses absolutely no health danger whatsoever to humans. That's according to the Treasury Department press release, which adds, do not ever put the bill in your pocket. Well, these improvements, plus the top secret auto-detonate feature that I'm not allowed to mention on this program, will make the new $20 bill, which is costing the government $348.50 per unit to manufacture, that's the most advanced anti-counterfeit currency in the world. But the whole world will be wasted unless you, the consumer, do your part by keeping a sharp eye out for funny money. I mean, the Treasury Department is asking that you regularly inspect all of your bills of all denominations. Because if you notice anything suspicious, according to the press release, and this especially means foreign words, men in wigs, strings of numbers, a greenish coloring, or some kind of weird eyeball floating above a pyramid, you should immediately put the suspect bills into an envelope and mail them to the U.S. Treasury Department Anti-Counterfeit Task Force, care of Jeffrey Bennett, Kettle Moraine Limited. My friends, please help. Because only by joining together to fight this thing can we as a nation buy me a giant mansion with servants and a lake, which will have ducks. Thank you. What I've just shared with you, I've done some very, very minor editing to. It was written in 1998 and published in the Washington Post magazine by Dave Barry. It fits the time, does it not? Now, with that, we've reached the end of our program today. No, we've not, but I've not planned one damn thing for this program tonight. That piece, when I came across it last night, I said, you've got to be kidding me. Well, what do the markets do today? It's been an interesting day, I'll tell you that. Palladium took a jump up $51.47 today at $2,240 an ounce. Platinum, you know, that's the one thing that I never sell, except that I broke my rule and sold some 2 days ago. Platinum's all of a sudden jumped up almost $16 today at $967. Silver up 24 cents today at $24.56. Well, glad I picked that stuff up this morning. Gold up $10.76 to close the day at $1,929.86. Now, have I put together anything that relates to headlines? No, not a damn thing. But we'll do a little bit of scrolling here and see what we got. I got some nice mellow tunes in the background at my office. You can't hear them. I mean, why not? You know, this stuff going on. That's not what I want, I don't think. No, that's the wrong one. I'm telling you, it's a whacked out day for me. And where the heck is this stupid thing? Where is it? My computer is, oh, here we go. Let's open the right place. Duh. Yeah, it's not too often that I come to the airwaves with nothing ready to go. And number one, I thought it would take a little bit longer to share the funny money story. Oh, in a little while, we're going to get to some serious money stuff. Let's see. Oh, my goodness gracious. Listen to this. It's not even economic news. 450 gigabytes of deleted Hunter Biden laptop material has been located. It's going to be released within weeks. We'll see. Oh, yes, we'll see. Let me see what else we got. Oh, my word. I'm half asleep. You know what yesterday was? A dark day in economic history. April 5th, 1933, the day that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, issued Executive Order Number 6102, beginning of the end for the gold standard. The questions are being raised, could it happen again? There's things about the gold standard that we had to understand. There were not that many people that turned it in. If they were caught, of course, they could have been subjected to a $10,000 fine or 10 years behind bars. But there were exceptions to it if you were considered a collector. Different dates, different mint marks, different denominations. All of those rules still stand, by the way. Even to the point they were upgraded in 1954, which expanded all that, even allowing ones to own foreign gold coin. Oh, but here's a lovely thing. Guess what? The United States Pacific Fleet Commander. China's undoubtedly watching what's happened in Ukraine, taking notes, learning from it. The United States has approved a $95 million Patriot missile systems boost for Taiwan. Where's all this money coming from? Well, mostly from you and I. Tax. Unbelievable. What else we got here? Well, according to Tucker Carlson, who states, like a pack of wild dogs, Democrats have decided to kill off weak Biden. It is his turn to be eliminated. These aren't economic commentaries. What does that mean? They're going to stick Kamanawanaswala in there as president? And then get rid of her because she's just as much of an idiot as Joey is? Oh, no. No, that means Nancy Pelosi will step in. We're in trouble, people. We are in absolute trouble. And unless each and every one of us take our own individual responsibility to do what's needed to be done, we're screwed. Mortgage refinance applications are collapsing. What's that going to do now with the selling prices of homes? Are they going to begin to tank? Well, gee, maybe it is time for my wife and I to dump this place on the market. Go rent a place for 6-8 months. This market will tank and I can buy it something I can afford. It's not that I can't afford this home. I don't want to live in this home anymore. It's a much bigger home than we need anymore. Our 18-year-old might be with us another year. She may not be. Don't need a place this big. Mortgage rates have breached the 5% level. The highest it's been in quite a while. New vehicle sales continue to plunge because of chip shortages, production cuts, low inventories drag on. Back where they were in 1979. So if you've got a used car that's a piece of caca that's falling apart, you can probably get what that car sold for brand new many years ago. That's what's all insane. What do we got up here? Fed secrecies killed the price discovery function of the stock market. Oh, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. We now know who owns the stock market. Or maybe the stock market owns the Federal Reserve. Uh-oh. FDA is now expected to authorize a second booster shot. You know, and this is, of course, for stuff that is worthless. Still, never been fully tested out. But my friends, our Fed cannot undo the damage it has caused. It's never going to change. It's never going to change. Oh, and by the way, J.P. Morgan is running out of silver again. Maybe platinum, too. Going to be interesting to watch, isn't it? Let's see what else we got here. We don't care about that. We don't care about that. A bull era for gold stocks and gold investors in a pretty good mood. I don't care about gold stocks. I never have. I never had any interest in investing paper money in the paper stocks of gold. But then oil and the Russian ruble and gold walk into a bar and, oh, never mind. That's another story. What else? Don't even know who the guy was. Biden's big government centrism, bred circuses and war. Yeah, circus is all right. Joey's a circle jerk, or a circus jerk, so what's the difference? Good question. Are we ready for financial lockdown? Because four billionaires are now offering critical insight on what inflation means for us and our money. I just can't sit out there keeping all the cash in paper, baby. Because both Joey and Putin have just killed the U.S. dollar. And I'm being paid 36 times a Roman soldier's wages in silver? It's the final nail in the U.S. dollar's coffin. And yeah, it is Joey's fault. Piece of worthless caca. Caca. That's a term I learned from my wife. That's how the Ukrainians say poop. I'm being nice. Let me see what else. Oh my goodness, there's rumors that gold is now being traded for Russian oil. The paper market's being left behind. You see, there are countries that are beginning to waken up and start leaving paper behind. Think about this stuff. Cancel the funeral for the U.S. dollar. The patient just leaped out of the coffin. No, it didn't. Not hardly. The dollar is not jumping out of the coffin. The dollar is a dead deal. El finito. These are all things to consider. Oh, my goodness. We got the Federal Reserve minutes. The devil's in the details. Oh, Germany sees $25 million in Bitcoin. There's some countries that are starting to get smart. But maybe Germany's planning on doing what Joey wants to do, create their own digital currency. And one of the ways they do that is to get rid of their competitors first. Think about that. I'm just finding headlines I'm popping out to you with. What's this? That looks like the dead devil. Ooh, I'll have to read that one later. Too much crazy stuff going on. Let's see, we got a... Oh, my goodness. We're going to do something very unusual. We got a piece of music we can stick up for a break? I don't mean a real break, just a piece of music. I should have shot you over a piece of jazz or something. Oh, you don't want to miss Friday night's program, folks. Please, don't miss it. Let me see what else we got going on here. Nothing. I'm telling you, these financial sites that made everything, their whole life, on economic news, etc., etc. Very few of them are doing it anymore. Yeah, sure, why not? Let's run a little bit of B-Brew. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, Michael and I have got some things we're cooking up, man. It's getting real interesting. This guy must have died, man. George Ford Smith. Did this guy die or something? I'm over at his website, Barbarous Relic. Barbarous Relic. He's not posted a thing since January the 6th. I wonder if this guy kicked the bucket. Stick around. We'll be back in a couple minutes, huh? We'll be right back. Yeah, a little bit of Miles Davis, Bitches Brew. You know, we are facing a coming global financial revolution, my friends. And Russia is now, believe it or not, following the American playbook. But you see, no country has successfully challenged the U.S. dollar's global hegemony until now. How did this happen? What's it going to mean? Foreign critics have long chaffed at the exorbitant privilege that the U.S. dollar is global reserve currency. Because the U.S. could issue this currency backed by nothing but the full faith and credit of the United States. Foreign governments needing dollars not only accept them in trade, but buy U.S. securities with them, effectively funding the U.S. government and all its foreign wars. But no government has been powerful enough to break the arrangement, not until now. And how did this happen? What's it going to mean for the U.S., for you, for I, for global economics? A little bit of history. The U.S. dollar was adopted as the global reserve currency at the Bretton Woods Conference in 1944, when the dollar was still backed by gold on global markets. Not here. Our parents couldn't really own the stuff, but it was backed overseas. The agreement was that gold and the dollar would be accepted interchangeably as global reserves. So the dollars, in order to be redeemable in gold on demand at $35 an ounce. Exchange rates of other currencies were fixed against the dollar. But that deal was broken after President Lyndon Johnson's guns and butter policy exhausted the U.S. kitty by funding war in Vietnam along with his Great Society and his other social programs at home. Now, a piece of history I've shared many times over. French President Charles de Gaulle, suspecting the U.S. was running out of money, cashed in a major portion of France's dollars for gold and threatened to cash in the rest, and other countries followed suit or threatened to. You see, France or any other country that owned gold or owned dollars could walk into any Federal Reserve Bank, as it were, and demand payment in gold. And that's what he did. And Fort Knox began to get gutted. And then, of course, a few years later, Tricky Dicky ended the convertibility of the dollar to gold internationally, known as closing the gold window. But he did that in order to avoid draining U.S. gold reserves. People blame Nixon. It's the one damn thing the guy did that was worthwhile. So the value of the dollar then plummeted relative to other currencies on global exchanges. But to prop it up, Nixon and Kissinger made a deal with Saudi Arabia and OPEC countries that OPEC would sell oil only in dollars and that the dollars would be deposited in Wall Street and City of London banks. And in return, the U.S. would defend the OPEC countries militarily. So economic researcher William Engdahl also presents evidence of a promise that the price of oil would be quadrupled. An oil crisis triggered by a brief Middle Eastern war did cause the price of oil to quadruple, and the OPEC agreement was finalized in 1974. And that deal held firm until 2000, when Saddam Hussein broke it by selling Iraqi oil in euros. And Libyan President Omar Gaddafi followed suit. So both presidents wound up, assassinated. And their countries were decimated into war with the United States. Now that is a simple portion of the story. Time allowing, we may return to it. Because this is lengthy. If I'd seen it earlier, we'd have not told the funny money story today, but I need a laugh once in a while, and you need to sit back and have a laugh, and why the heck not? because we're in trouble, people. We're in trouble big, big time. Let's break from this for a few moments. I got a note from Howard today who told me that we returned with a whole passel of goods and we're back to digging up more great buys. Now, I didn't take anything on the air yesterday. I didn't particularly want to go on and have any kind of a special offering or anything else. I mean, that's one of the ways we support ourselves and support this network. Well, something interesting came about. I remember having a brief conversation with one of my suppliers the other day, and he kind of shocked me a little bit. And I wanted to verify some things with him today. You remember last week and the week before when we were offering the French 20-franc roosters, which has always been one of my absolute favorite coins? These are roughly fifth-ounce European. They have the same size, weight, and purity in gold content as Italian lira, the Greek drachma, the Belgian franc, the Swiss franc. And there's something else I'm leaving out. I'm not remembering right now, but there were five or six countries that had coins of all the same exact size, shape, and purity and gold content, etc. And you could cross borders and spend the coin from your country in one of the other countries and you would get full value for it. Well, you know, we don't have those kind of situations today. I've shared with you that in 1995, when I was with Viking International Trading, I was working with Robbie Noel, Eric Cedarstrom, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of the owner. But the owner was a really nice guy, but he was easy to con. And that's how he came from Tennessee, I think, is the state he originally came from. And his father and his uncle were in politics out there, et cetera, et cetera. And he was a client of Jim Cedarstrom. And when Jim found out the kind of money this kid had access to, invited him to come to Arizona and set up his own business. Jim Cedarstrom was really good at conning people into doing stuff like that and made a lot of money and, you know, set people up for general failure, which is ultimately what happened. But everybody was selling $5 and $10 and $20 U.S. gold pieces, certified or raw, whatever the case may be. And I'm just sitting here thinking, my God, why would people want to pay that kind of money for these things? Having been around coinage for so many years of my life, I began to introduce the audience to some options. British sovereigns, Swiss 20-franc pieces, the French pieces, and then Italian pieces started becoming available, and I was able to find some Greek pieces. And I know one of the first sales I was involved with was close to $250,000. And he had traveled the world, so he understood all of this and literally put all of that money into foreign gold pieces. And he liquidated a large portion of it through me last year, which we shared with our RBN audience. Well, I got an interesting offer for today, my friends. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had the French roosters. I'm going to tell you something. The French are hot. French francs have featured countless different designs during the course of history. Gold coins in their range once bore the portraits of the kings, the emperors, the early presidents of France. And by the late 19th century, A guardian angel design had taken over as the primary design for those coins. And right now, I've got access to 20 franc gold coins with that angel design. And they're available through us now. Let me share a little bit of this coin. Struck between 1871 and 1898. Each one of them bear the guardian angel image. And as with the piece we offered several weeks ago, contains 0.1867 troy ounce of actual gold content in about uncirculated condition. It bears a face value of 20 francs backed by the government of France. And on the obverse, the front of the coin, was the design of the guardian angel known as Genius. The back, the reverse of the coin, features the wreath and legend inscription. Now, this design was originally created in the year 1792 by a gentleman named Augustin Dupré. And each of these 20 franc gold coins are available. I will do something I was unable to do with the roosters. Each individual coin will be inside of a protective plastic packaging. The guardian angel design is deeply rooted in the history of France. First appeared on the coinage for King Louis the 16th. And this gold coin had a 24 livres face value with Louis the 16th's portrait on one side, the angel on the other. Now, Augustin Dupré's choice of the angel on coinage for France comes from a quite fantastical story. Set to lose his head to the guillotine during the French Revolution, he was spared by a bolt of lightning which startled the executioner and delayed the execution. And he later received a stay and credited his life to an angel coin he had in his pocket. And later, Napoleon Bonaparte carried an early angel coin in his pocket on military campaigns, losing his coin the night before France's devastating loss of the Battle of Waterloo. So, as we mentioned, on the obverse of these 20 franc gold coins is the image of the guardian angel, otherwise known as Genius. Her winged figure is depicted standing at a column as she makes inscriptions on the French Constitution while a French rooster looks on. Yes, the rooster is in there again, in very small size. It becomes interesting. Engravings identify the era of issue with République Française, which translates as French Republic. And the reverse of the coins includes the common wreath circle with the legend in the center. And that legend includes the face value of the gold coins, as well as its individual year of issue dated between, as we mentioned earlier, 1871 and 1898. And the coins also include the French motto, Liberté, Égalité, Fraternité. These 20 franc gold coins in this listing come from that, once again, 1871 to 1898 period. That's the primary mintage period for that guardian angel design. All coins of this era were minted by the Paris Mint location. Now, as I've shared with you before, because this is something that I think is common sense, my friends, I don't do crypto. I don't do stock market. These type of coins in any precious metal are hands down the thing to own, the best way to hold your fiat's value. The Belcombians know their stuff for sure. Now, let me share this with you. Several hours when all of this came together, I did some brief reviewing. I was finding these very coins being sold for between 405 and, gag me, $585 each. It's insanity. They're going to be available tonight from Kettle Moraine for $395 each. Now, that's sold in a minimum pack of five coins, which is going to cost you roughly $1,975 plus moderate shipping expense. But price will be subject to market movement. I'm going to share something with you. If you go to the treasury chest on Sierra Madre Precious Metals right now and take a look at an image of this coin. It is exquisite. I have access to Napoleons. They are nothing compared to the French angels nor the roosters. I think they are personally the most gorgeous coins that came out of Europe, period, ever. But we're not buying them for pieces of art. We're not buying them to stick them in a little blue coin collector's book. We're buying them because we don't trust crypto, because we don't trust the stock market, and we damn sure can't trust our government and what the Federal Reserve and Wall Street is doing to our dollar. I don't want to spend $405, $585 for coins that I can buy for $395 a piece. Got an interest? Send me a text, number one, at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214. You can also send me an email, those of you who have the email. It's kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. That email is at the bottom of the treasure chest page. Our phone number is listed there. And this is amazing stuff. Absolutely simple. Look, if this kind of thing fits your survival mode, then call us, email us, text us today. Once again, it's this mentality of owning your coins in a form of a collection. Maybe you've got some American gold. Maybe you've got some Italian, some Greek, some Russian, some British. Maybe you bought some of the French roosters. Some of you folks that tried to order some of the packages of roosters, they were sold out. Same thing with the Uruguayan pieces. They were sold out. I don't know what the total number of these things we got available right now, but I pretty much let my suppliers know that I have an interest in all things of an international market because they're marvelously, marvelously priced. That's always been my history. I'm here to save you money. Put some of the yellow stuff into your hands. Well, but who's going to accept a French piece in America? Its net gold content's 0.1867. That's all you need to be concerned about. They're not going to care if it's French or Italian or Canadian. It doesn't matter. This is for your benefit. It's for your security. You're not buying it for the purpose of making money. If you do, that's great. But the one thing historically we know about gold, as a rule, and that's not always the case, because I can prove time and time again where there have been areas where people have made money with gold. I shared the story with you with the purchase of a Ford truck from 1972 or 78, whatever the heck it was. I've got to update that piece and share with you an update. But you know what it costs you to buy a brand new Ford in gold back in the 70s versus what it would cost you to buy a new Ford today at $40,000 or $50,000, $40,000, whatever, for a fairly basic model. Guess what, folks? Wake up. You'd still have a good 9 or 10 or 11 ounces of gold left in your pocket. It wouldn't cost you the amount of gold that it would have cost you back in those days. No, you'd have some left over. That's not a bad deal, is it? Huh? That's kind of slicky poo, man. Give me a quick second here. Got to do one minor update. Let me. After update, okay, I got that done. I just moved and I accidentally bumped my thing off. Give me just a quick second. I'm going to pull up this thing up here. Come on. I don't want screenshots. Bingo. Whoa. Where's the darn thing? Oh, God, scared the heck out of me. I've got a piece that I did just a couple of years ago. Where the heck is it? Come on, baby, where's my Ford? Where's my Ford? You couldn't give me one of those aluminum pieces of crap today. God, they're awful pretty looking cars. I got to tell you something. My granddaughter and I went through Starbucks the other day. She wanted something from Starbucks. We hadn't been there a long time together. And we went in this place in the drive-thru, saw a gorgeous Ford pickup truck driving through that place. Best-looking gal I've seen driving a pickup truck in one long time, Jack. All right, here's a story I shared with you a while back. How's the dollar working out for you? 1978, the average price of spot gold was $193.22. Okay? Now, at the time that I wrote this, I don't have a date in front of it, spot gold was $1,645. Today, it's somewhere around $1,928. Okay? Almost $300 more. And Mark Ziegler writes that in 1978, he made $10 an hour installing air conditioning, had a brand new truck that cost $6,800, rented a two-bedroom house for $300 a month, gas was 60 cents a gallon, food and insurance were cheap. Now the same job pays $17 an hour, the truck is $40,000, the house is $1,400 a month, and food costs seven times more. Except it's even worse than that now. And he asked the question, how can the people of our country advance in life like this? Now, at the time that I wrote this, I stated that I didn't write that, but I wrote a note below. It says, in 1978, it would have cost approximately 35.2 ounces of gold to purchase that truck. Today, at the time of this writing, when gold was 1645, it would have cost approximately 24.1 ounces, leaving a surplus of 11.1 ounces of gold in your possession. Which means at that time when gold was 1645, your net gain would be $18,261.72 in your hand. Well, wait a minute. Gold's now up almost $300 an ounce. Which means it will take fewer ounces to buy a $40,000 truck. And your net gain is going to be considerably higher than the $18,000 figure. That's the common sense. That's the best kind of a lesson I could share with any of you. So take advantage of this offering tonight. If you've got the funds, don't take food off your table. Don't keep gas out of your car. Don't not do with your family what you have to do, but if you can afford to do it and this makes sense to you, take advantage of this phenomenal 20-franc offering. The angels, my God, they're gorgeous. Go take a look at the picture. Read the story I just shared with you on the air. You can text me, 602-799-8214, or you can call me at that number. Or you can send me an email if you have an interest. You want to take a look at a full roll? We'll talk about it. I'll work for you. It's your money. Nobody's got a right to play with your money. Let's get as much for each other as you can for the money and funds you've got to work with. Okay? Now, we reached about the end of our time today. You guys take care of yourselves. I'll be here if you want to talk. Call me tomorrow, as long as I got these things available. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have work at all, I'd fool around and have a ball.
It's a rich man's world. A man like that is hard to find, but I can't get him off my mind. Ain't it sad? And if he happens to be free, I bet he wouldn't fancy me. That's too bad. So I must leave. I'll have to go to Las Vegas or Monaco and win a fortune in a game. My life will never be the same. Money, money, money must be funny in the rich man's world. Money, money, money always sunny in the rich man's world.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.